Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page. The readings are taken from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10, and 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 12. The talk is from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, as we continue our series based on Pete Gregg's book, How to Hear God, and today, through prophecy.
So the first reading is taken from 1 Samuel, chapter 3, and it's where the Lord calls Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of the Lord.
This second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. I often think if Paul were alive today, I can imagine him being the inspirational guest speaker at events like Spring Harvest. And I expect he would probably have a regular slot on Thought for Today on Radio 4's Today programme. This passage reads a little bit like one of those. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 to 12, and then verses 23 to 25. "Follow the way of love, and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you have prophecy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you? Unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking to the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So if the whole church comes together with everyone and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just take a moment in God's presence as we explore what it means to be your instrument in times of worship. Speak to us through your word and use my words to accomplish your purposes for this church and for our lives. Amen. So if you haven't been with us for the last few weeks, or if you're new to the church, my name is Fabian, I'm the vicar here, and we are exploring the theme of hearing God's word. And it's based on a book by Peter Craig, How to Hear God, kind of a manual for dummies. He kind of had a very simple way to learn to hear God's voice in our lives. And the first week, we looked at hearing God's word in Jesus. And that's because it always starts there. If we want to know God personally, we first have to realize who Jesus is and what has Jesus done for us, and to let Jesus come into our lives. So that's where it starts, hearing God's word in Jesus. Jesus is that living word of God who, even before time, John says in his gospel, was with God and was himself God. And all of creation, all that we see and all that we don't see, has been made through him and with him. And this living word of God, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came to live among us, enfleshed himself and came to live among us. And through his life, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection, he has opened a way for us to know God. But more importantly, he has started the ruling of God here on earth. That was his mission, to bring about forgiveness of sins, to conquer death, but also to open a new way of life for those who will accept him as Lord and Savior. And that's the whole story we will remember a few weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago now, when it's Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to give gifts to his church so that they can continue what Jesus did. They can continue to do and say what he did and said. And this is available to his church right now. It's not something we have to wait when we die. He has accomplished something. He has energized his church to do his and continue his work. And then, week two, we looked at hearing God's word in Scripture, in the Bible, the whole of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Why all of it? Because, again, Jesus, being the living word of God, was present when the Old Testament was written. The whole process that took many centuries, Jesus inspired, Jesus was there, Jesus was involved in both the birth of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And this is why in that story that we are using every week, the story of the two disciples walking towards Emmaus and Jesus coming among them, this is why he is able to speak to them using the Old Testament from Moses through all the prophets to show all the things that were prophesied, that were spoken about himself, because he himself was involved in that process. The living word of God was affirming the reliability, the relevance, the truth of that written word. And then finally, last week, we looked at hearing God's word in prayer, and specifically in praying as we read scripture, in taking the time, slowing down, reading scripture in a prayerful way. And in that story of the disciples going to Emmaus, he said, when Jesus was opening scripture to us, our hearts were burning. And that's what happened when we take the time prayerfully reading scripture. Sometimes it's just a verse, sometimes it's a passage. When we open ourselves, when we have questions and we want to explore scripture, God promised that he will journey with us and help us to understand, to have our hearts warmed up. And when that happens, familiar texts sometimes become alive again and relevant. We hear God's encouragements, reassurances, maybe sometimes warnings or rebukes, guidance and training. We are transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. What does it mean to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus? Well, you will do and say more and more what Jesus used to do and say. He who was the perfect reflection of what humanity was meant to be. Open to God, obedient to his words, and expressing his character and desire. So this morning we move on. And the first 3 weeks, although it applies to hearing God's voice also together, it's mainly hearing God's word for us individually to be built up. Of course, we use scripture also in church, we use prayer in church, but it was mainly directed to how do we hear, how do I hear God's word for myself. We're moving now to hearing God's words together and how we are instruments to help others hearing God's word. And that specific gift, the gift of prophecy, is all about that. It's about giving a word to others, not to yourself. Now let me say a few words. Maybe we need to a little bit pause, because when we speak about prophecy, that might be difficult for some, maybe for many, maybe for all of us. It's still, for me, something to grow, to learn, something of a mystery. So let's just take a moment. Let's pause. Let's spend a little bit of thinking and silence about what we might think or feel when we hear that word, prophecy. Maybe for us, for you, it's completely new. You have no idea even what it really means. Maybe it's you think of, what's his name, Nostradamus? The kind of the famous, I think, 16th century eccentric Christian who had all those predictions of the future and wrote it in a book. Maybe that's what you think when you think about the word prophecy. Or maybe you feel a bit like, I think he's a minion there. There we go. I'm fed up. I've heard it all. It really didn't work. And that's kind of how you feel. Maybe you've been a bit disillusioned about it. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've seen how this gift has been manipulated by some people, and you're just fed up. Maybe you feel like that woman on the couch. Really? It's just, I can't even bear thinking about it. Maybe it's too risky. Maybe it's too unfamiliar. Or maybe you think, it's fine for certain church, but this is not for this church. This is not who we are. So thanks, but no thanks. I wonder if you recognize yourself in one of those pictures. I certainly recognize myself. So let's recognize those feelings, and let's be open to God's teaching in Scripture. And let's ask for God's help in understanding what is of him, and then to allow him to work through us. Well, this passage in Corinthians 14 is very helpful to actually challenge some of those attitudes that we might have. Now, the issue in Corinth was not the prophecy, it was actually speaking in tongue. And he uses chapter 12, 13, and 14 to address the issue of the misuse of a gift, speaking in tongue. But interestingly, while addressing this, he doesn't say, well, look, the way to address it is forget about it. The way to find a solution is don't do it. The way to go about it is maybe to be wary or suspicious. He said no. To solve the misuse, Paul does not say you should stop it. He doesn't say you should be suspicious or weary about it. He doesn't say you should oppose or condemn or be critical of it. Actually, he says be eager. Be eager for all spiritual gifts. But what he says is that to solve the misuse, use the gift in the right context. And with speaking in tongues, because it's something no one understands, if there is no translation, do it personally or at home. If someone has a translation, it has a purpose because people then can understand what you're saying. So use it in the right context and use it with the right attitude. And what's what he does in three chapters? Use it in the right context and use it with the right attitude. Chapter 13, follow the way of love. And so similar, when we think about the gift of prophecy, we do not honor God when we seek to solve the misuse or the abuse of that gift by speaking against it, by stopping it, by being weary. No, as a church, we'll need to learn to express it in the right context, for the right purpose, and with the right attitude. So let's start with the context. Well, clearly, for Paul, the context was public worship or a gathering of Christians. And it can be any kind of gathering. It's not just a Sunday service. It could be your home group gathering. It could be a small gathering where you seek God or where you have a question and you bring some of your friends and you say, you know, I really need some direction here. Can you pray for me? And sometimes a word of prophecy, a word that comes from God, might just be what you need. So, Christian gathering. And when you look at Paul and how he understands the work of the Holy Spirit, basically he recognizes that the Holy Spirit can be seen, recognized, and experienced in two ways. One is the fruits of the Spirit, and the other one is the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you might be familiar with the fruits of the Spirit. That's God's work inside of us, gradually changing us more and more into Christ-likeness. It changes us. It changes our character, our behavior. It helps us change from those kind of negative desires of impulses or emotions which dominate our world, like envy and jealousy and greed, lust, pride, bitterness, revenge, deceitfulness, being devious, impatience. And it changes into love, joy, patience, kindness, peace, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's one side of experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of God in us. But on the other hand, there is also those gifts that enables us to relate to other people in a way that, in a sense, transcends our own limitations. That's why Paul used the word pneumatikos. It is of the Spirit. It has a different source than just our human thinking or human limitations. No, it will use your brain. It will use all of you, your imagination. But the source is in God Himself. And this single-use gift is actually very unhelpful. It doesn't come in Greek. The two words, charismata and pneumatikos. Charismata speaks of the idea of gift, which is free. It's not something we earn. It's not something you get at the end of 3 years of studies in a college. It's freely given, right at the start of your Christian life. It's not even linked to the amount of maturity you have. It's, in that sense, a gift. But in English, gift means, oh, it's for me. It's for my enjoyment. You know, you have your gift. You enjoy it for yourself. No, it's for others. It's a gift to the church, to those around you, to that group you are part of. One says, it's not a freedom of faith enhancing excitement to those who receive them. That's not a spiritual gift. I prefer Tom Wright. He's much easier. He says, it's not there to provide us with the spiritual equivalent of a trip to Alton Towers. That's not what it is all about. It's not for you. It's for the church when it's expressed in public worship. In a sense, maybe the speaking in tongue is for you. In a sense, it builds you up. It, you know, it encourages you. But all the other ones are gifts to others. And so in 1 Corinthians, if you look at chapter 13, it's use other words, spiritual things or graces or ministries or services, energizing, manifestation, sourced in God. And it's important that we see the gift of prophecy in its context, that it is really about God. It's not about us. And it is about doing the kind of things Jesus did. And so if you look at the list, there is nothing really extraordinary, because what it expresses is what Jesus himself did in his ministry. Gift of knowledge, revelation, wisdom, healing, mercy, service. So the emphasis is not on us, but on the Spirit. It's not on what we do, but on what we expect and permit him to do. And this chapter is just a glimpse. There are other passages in the New Testament that speaks about God's working out through his church. At the end of the month, we'll have Alison Morgan, who is going to train a group in prayer ministry. She wrote two books. One is called The Word on the Wind. And it says, in her books, it says, the Spirit gifts are resources given to the church to enable its mission and ministry. Scripture, history, and experience all suggest that they are intended to be a normal part of the Christian life. As we use them, the confidence will grow that we do indeed have something to offer to the world, the outpouring of God's very life. And so looking at prophecy and its context, I'm not going to say what prophecy is, because that would be unhelpful. Then we have put it in the box. But we have enough material to open our mind to the possibilities. Well, you have first the Old Testament, and you can look at how prophecy was a reality in the life of Israel. And you have the New Testament and how that gift was used. The big change from the Old Testament is that you had recognized prophets, people who were recognized by Israel to have that special position, to be God's spokesman. But then with the coming of Jesus, and there was a prophet called Joel, says, on that day I will pour my spirit on all people, not just the official, but everyone, teenagers, old men, servants, everyone, or will be at a place where he can or she can prophesy. It's a rich and many-sided phenomenon. Most prophetic words are concerned with the present, and that's why Nostradamus is not a good example. Mainly what he did was about the future, but mostly it's about the present. It can be sometimes related to the future. For example, Jesus announced the coming of the Spirit. That was future. He warned the disciples that persecution would await them. He told Peter that he will be taken where he does not wish to go. Even Paul spoke prophetically about the future to the Ephesians or to his shipmates when he was in danger, and he said, no one will die, everyone will be spared. And prophetic words continued to be the part of the life of the early church. And the church father wrote that people were called into ministry by means of prophetic words. Others had visions or prophecies received to offer comfort because of facing martyrdom, while others were given words of prophecies for guidance and direction. And that the Lord speaks in this way in order to lead churches into unity in times of conflict. Well, in our passage, Paul says, the purpose of this gift is the strengthening, encouraging, comforting, and edification of God's people. To encourage, to comfort, to strengthen. So when you are open and you feel you seems God is saying, you know, this is a word that might be from God, you can ask yourself, is it encouraging? Is it comforting? Is it edifying? Is it strengthening? Prophecy is not there to expose or criticize or pull people down. And it's not primarily about the future. It's about declaring God's desire, God's will for a group of people, communicating his heart. And it can take a form of words, an action, or a picture. And I'm just going to illustrate. I did a trip to Brazil when I was 18 or 19. I can't remember the precise circumstances, but we were ministering in favelas. And there was this young man who was homeless, and I wanted to give him my Bible. We had various conversations and could see he really was open. And he says, look, I had a big Bible, like kind of very heavy. You know, I was very spiritual, so you have a big Bible when you're very spiritual. Big Bible. He said, look, I'm homeless. You know, I can't do much with this big Bible. You know, I can't carry it. But, you know, I usually go to that church. There is this huge Bible, and I go and I read it. So I said, okay. And I was just praying for him. And I felt that I should give him my best clothes, because somehow I felt that God had a bright future for this man. And I wanted to, in a physical way, to express, you know, you're beautiful for God, and he's going to use you. And those clothes represent what is to come, because he had ragged clothes. And to this day, I've never heard of him, but I always picture him wearing those clothes and preaching the gospel. I think that was prophetic. No, it's in God's hand. That's what I felt, but that's an action. A picture, well, we were given a picture when we were trying to discern what's next after our curacy. And one of the pictures is that we decided, because my incumbent, after 18 years of ministry, was moving on. He told me in my third year of curacy, I need to tell you, I'm moving on. And I was coming to the end of my third year, so usually most curates, after 3 years, the only thing they can think of is go away. Find the next spot, find the next place. But I really enjoyed the church, and I felt by God that I had to stay to help the church in that transition time, which meant I would have less time to look for the next step. And my bishop wasn't very, very happy. He said, no, you shouldn't spend that time. You should concentrate on trying to find. And so for the first 6 months of my fourth year, I didn't really look. And it came about with a picture. As we were praying, and someone says, you know, I have this picture that I feel it's like a bridge, and it's half built, and it looks like you are building it up to nearly the end. And we felt that an encouragement, saying, this is right what we do. We're just at the start of this interregnum, and it's just half the bridge. By God's grace, we're going to help the church to build it, and it all happened according to that picture. By the time we were starting looking, and we were very close to find it, there were a few days to accept the new vicar. So that's something that really encouraged us at a time when we were discerning, and that was a picture. Mostly could be words, and most of the Old Testament prophets were about words, words to their people. So the context and the purpose. What about the attitude? Well, Paul says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That should be our attitude. Eagerly desire a spiritual gift, but use them in the context of love. Express it to build one another, not to tear people down or to tear the body down, not to create division or suspicion or disunity. Also, the attitude is it should be intelligible. Now, I must admit, sometimes when I hear a prophetic picture, I think like, really? What has helped is my incumbent was a great teacher. He said, when you share a word or a picture, it's not your job to try to interpret. If you really have an impression, share it as a gift, saying, you know, I'm not really sure, but this is the impression I have. And it belongs now to the body to discern. But in a sense, I do believe, like tongues, if it's really very, very, very strange, maybe we need a little bit more time to pray about it. And if God is really in it, he will kind of confirm. Because it has to be intelligible. It has to build up. It has to have a meaning. Also, prophecies, when mostly in way of words, can speak deeply to people who inquire about the faith. All of a sudden, they realize, oh, this must be from God. How did that person know? How that person knows that I was going through that difficult time or a difficult situation. What is also important is to be open, receptive, but also obedient. Sometimes you might get a kind of a word for you, but you don't do anything about it. And maybe then God stops speaking or showing, sometimes to a church. And maybe the best example is actually the whole book of Revelation, where for the seven churches there were words to those churches, things that they were doing well, things that they were not doing very well, and warnings. If you continue that way, I will take my light from you. You won't be that witness that I want you to be. So it's also about obedience, but it's also about seasons. And sometimes God speaks more loudly, sometimes he's maybe quieter. leaving us to exercise common sense and to be faithful to the things that he's already shown us so far. Finally, the gift is like exercising muscles. It's to try it out. And we will make mistakes, and maybe we need to make mistakes. But if we don't try, we will not learn to grow. And that story of Samuel didn't recognize the voice of God at the beginning, 3 times. And I'm sure it wasn't the last time when he had to struggle with, what is God telling me now for the people? But as he exercised his gift, his calling, he became the prophet for Israel. And he had that attitude, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Can we be a church that learns to do that, to be open to hear God's voice? So how can we do that? How can we grow? Well, let's walk closely with Jesus. Let's become acquainted with the sound of his voice. Maybe someone has learned more about that gift than we, and maybe we can be mentored. Learn from that person and learn to diligently deliver the things that you feel God might be saying. And as you do, there will be increased confidence, competence, and consistency. So hearing God's voice, hearing God's word in prophecy. I'm just going to take a moment of quietness. And it's just an exercise for you, and I'm not going to ask you to share. But if you have a situation or a person or a group that you just want to pray about it and says, God, here I am. If there is a word for me to share with that person, just give that to me. And maybe in faith, maybe tentatively, you want to share that through the week. And I know that in your home groups, you will also have space to pray for one another and see whether God is saying something to you. So let's just take a moment of quietness. Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you that the gifts you give to your people are for everyone. Thank you that they are there to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort, to build up. Lord, on this journey, when we open ourselves to your work, help us to learn from Paul's wisdom, to be eager, not to dismiss what you might want to work among us, but to do it in the right context, with the right purpose, and with the right attitude. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.